Welcome to True Crime Broads. This is Crystal.
And Remy.
And today we have a really different special episode. I really wanted to interview Renee because she has a very unique connection to true crime. And she's going to tell us about that from her early life. So I'll just go ahead and read a review and then we'll do a couple of announcements and get started. So here's a review that came in on Apple, and the title of the review is Love, Love, Love. And the third love is in capital letters. That's so sweet. And it's a 5-star review. And it says, I was born and raised locally, and this case hits so close to home. Absolutely devastating. I found the podcast a month ago and have listened to every episode. I love the way you two have kept the case alive and continue to push for answers. Prayers every day. We're closer to solving this. Thanks for all you do. That is such a nice review.
Sweet, yeah. Thank you.
And the name of the reviewer is AERTWYTHJ. I'm not going to try to pronounce that because I think it's just like, I think it's just like the gibberish that Apple puts in there for you. I'm not really sure. Because I know mine is a really weird name too.
Yeah.
And if I had the presence of mind when I set it up, I would have made it something normal. But most of us don't. And especially if you've had your iPhone for like, you know, 15 years or whatever, your first iPhone. I mean, no one has
not the actual phone.
Yeah,
that would be funny.
So you set up your Apple accounts. But I've just noticed lately, like in the last few years, I've been kind of looking at the Apple stuff that I set up like back in 2006 mm-hmm. or 7. I'm like, wow, I need to figure out how to get in and fix that.
Yeah.
But anyway, so this person, that's clearly not their name, is my point of all that babbling. And we really appreciate their review. And Renee, you got anything?
Yeah. Well, just my normal updates. We have the in-person meeting coming up on Wednesday. It's the April the 4th. It's on Wednesday, 6:30. And that's in Waxahachie. And then we have the 8-year anniversary candlelight vigil, April 18th at 7 p.m. at the Kimmel Park.
8 years.
It's going to be... I'm hoping everybody will go to our page and share the event so that we can get as many people there to show support for Justice for Missy.
8 years. That's ridiculous.
I know.
And for those of you who are listening that aren't in the DFW area, you can also participate online.
Yeah. Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm going to have someone video it and do a live, and I'm going to say this in advance because I've never done it before, but I'm going to attempt to do the StreamYard where they can do it to all the different things so that people that look at it from different, you know, the Instagram and Facebook or
that
whatever.
Would be cool. We should start doing that for other stuff too.
We're trying, y'all.
We're technologically challenged, as if you couldn't tell already.
Right.
So anyway, and anyone listening to this episode a little bit off in the future, we're talking about, this is March of 2024, so we're talking about stuff happening next month. If you're listening to us a year or two from now, this is all 2024 stuff. So sorry if we wasted your time with that. So anyway, thank you so much for joining us on True Crime Broads, and stay tuned for my interview with my co-host, Renee.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Thank you so much for listening to True Crime Broads. We would also love to see you on our social media. We have an Instagram page called True Crime Broads.
We also have a Facebook page called True Crime Broads. And then we also have a group, which is called True Crime Broads, Missy Beaver's Case Discussion Group. And if you can, please leave us a 5-star review. We are needing some new ones.
Yes, you can leave 5 stars on Spotify if you think we deserve it. And also on Apple, you can also leave 5 stars and leave a written review if you'd like to. So thanks again for listening to True Crime Broads.
True Crime Broads with Crystal and Renee.
Welcome back to True Crime Broads. This is a very special episode because instead of a guest we're interviewing, I'm going to interview my co-host because she has really such an interesting background. And really more of a reason to be interested in true crime than the majority of us, because she comes from that story. So Renee, tell us a little bit about which family member was a victim in your family that we're going to discuss today, and how you came to be aware of this, because you were not raised by this person, right?
Right. Okay. So I'll give you the short version of it. Okay. So when I was 11, I was at the bowling alley. My parents bowled. They were on a bowling league. And as a kid, I would run around with my friends and we'd run and play, you know, on the pool table and the machines and all that crap. So we're running around and we go over to, we're looking for my parents. And she says, "What's your last name?" And I said, "My last name is Wells." So it was a huge bowling alley. So we're looking at back then the names were at the top where they had kept the score. So we're looking at the top and we're looking for Wells and we're going through and we're looking for Wells and we couldn't find Wells anywhere. And there were so many people. It was just hard to see. And back then they smoked and, you know, all that. And it's just hard to see. So I'm thinking, okay, where were they? And so we finally find my parents. And I don't know why it didn't dawn on me, but my parents' last name isn't Wells. And so it confused me. She's like, "Why are your parents' names different?" And I'm like, "I don't know."
And that's so confusing for kids.
Yeah. So I was like, "I don't know. I guess I really never thought about it, you know?" So of course I go home and ask my mom. I'm like, "Well, why is your name different?" And she's like, "Well, I'm married to him and that's not your, you know, biological dad or whatever." And I'm like, "Oh, okay. Well, wait a minute. My biological dad's last name is this." And she says, "Okay, I'm going to have to tell you a story," you know? So
you found out your family background when you were 11?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it was super weird. So she tells me the story. And at that very moment, I felt like an alien.
Well, what was the story? Can you kind of give us the synopsis of what she said?
So basically, she tells me that I was born in Houston in 1969. And it's going to be confusing because I refer to all these people as my parents, but it is what it is. But her and my dad lived in Houston and they managed an apartment complex. So he was the maintenance person. And I guess she cleaned the apartments when people would move out or whatever. And so they found out there was a woman that lived in these apartments that had a child that needed to be babysat because the mom would leave and the baby didn't have anybody to take care of her. And that baby was me. So,
okay, you were born in October. So this is probably like 1970, maybe like early 70.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think I was over a year old anyway. And so she would babysit me. So long story short, I have a family member that would be babysitting me. My actual mother didn't live there. And the aunt said, "Her mom's not taking care of her. And, you know, I can't do it. I have my own small baby, you know, y'all should try to adopt her or take her or something." And so they tried to adopt me. That never ended up happening. And so they just took me and left.
And who's they again?
The person I call my mom.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Yes. That's an amazing story. Yeah. And that's weird. Incredible. So tell me, okay, so getting into the true crime aspect of your background, tell us what happened to your biological mom as best you can tell.
So I got older and of course I wanted to find my family. I grew up with none of my family. I didn't grow up with my real mom. I didn't grow up with my real dad or any of my family, period. So I got older and I was like, I want to see what it's like to look like somebody. I want to see what it's like to have the same eyes, the same hair, the same smile or whatever. So I started looking for my family. Well, I guess this was kind of a plus in the situation. My birth certificate still has my parents' names on it because I was never legally adopted. My mom basically gave the woman that raised me $200 to take me. So at this point, I go back to my birth certificate and I look at it. I'm like, okay, there's my dad's name. So let me start researching. So this lady in Houston tells me, she says, "Why don't you look in the phone book and just look down the list and see if you can see his name?" And I thought, that's never going to work. His name was a very common, Robert Wells. So I look in there and I go down the list and I find this. I never do anything like you're supposed to. So anyway, I find it. I call him and he's my dad. Mm-hmm. It was crazy that it was Well, actually, that's
not true. And that's not an uncommon name.
Yeah, it's very common. So I actually called my grandmother. I apologize. I called my grandmother. She gave me his number and I called him. Mm. So I get in touch with him and he lives in California, which makes it even more
complicated.
So I find him. Well, I have a cousin that's looking for my mom's side of the family at the same time that I find my dad's side of the family. She finds them and she says, but I have some bad news. Your mom's not alive.
Wow.
And I was 25 when that happened. So I was like, okay. So I have my mom's side of the family, but not my mom. I have my dad's side of the family. He's in California. So I fly to California, meet him. He tells me the story. Your mom is not alive, you know, da, 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 da. So he didn't really know a lot of the details. So I go to Georgia and meet my biological mom's side of the family. And they tell me that my mother was killed.
So she was actually murdered.
Yes.
And when was she murdered?
She died October 8th of 1986 in Indian Rocks Beach, Florida.
Wow.
And she was beaten to death by her boyfriend. She didn't die instantly, though. What happened was they had a little bit of information, but not a lot. And they basically ruled her death natural causes, and I'll explain why. Very weird. So I want to say it was 9 days before, it was September 29th or 30th. She called the police and her boyfriend. They called the police. She called the police because he had beat her. Mm. He had beat her like severely. So she, you know, filed a police report, and I guess he was going to get arrested. And
wait, who filed the police report? I'm sorry, I got lost.
My mom.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. You're the mom that raised you.
Yeah. Okay. No.
Oh, your actual biological mom. Yeah,
I'm telling you the story.
So she's still, okay, I got you.
Yeah, I know it's confusing. So my real mom files a police report because her boyfriend beats her up. Ugh. And the police come out, they're going to arrest him, and he's threatening her. And this is all in paperwork that I received. I filed a Freedom of Information Act, which I didn't even know that's what it was at the time. I just asked, is there anybody to get these records? They sent them to me. So I read them. And basically, he beat her and she filed, you know, he said, if you do this, when I go to jail, I get out, I'm going to beat the crap out of you. I'm going to kill you. Mm. So she was scared. So she withdrew the complaint. And they had her sign it. And at the bottom of it, it said, if anything happens to you because of this withdrawal of this complaint, we're not held liable. She signed it. And 9 days later, she died.
That's horrible. Yeah.
So they had to rule it natural causes.
Because of that thing that she signed.
Yes.
Wow.
Because she did have medical problems, but she technically was beaten to death.
How did you find out that she was beaten to death versus, because if she signed that waiver and they put natural causes, how did you learn that she was murdered?
Because she called her sisters.
Oh.
She had four sisters and she had called one of them and told them that she had been with him and he had beat her. And then,
but I mean, how did they know that's how she died? Was there a medical examiner or like, how did
I don't really know that. I don't remember. I know I talked to them about it back then. Yeah. And they told us.
And they were certain.
Yeah. They were certain
that she had been beaten to death. Yeah. By him.
She said, I'm not going to make it.
He literally got away with murder.
Yeah. Because he told her he was going to do that and she withdrew it and then he beat her again. So
I wonder if that would fly today. I haven't heard of that disclaimer thing. I mean, that waiver that she signed.
I know.
It seems like now, what year was that?
86.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. It just seems like you could sign all the waivers in the world, but that's murder.
I know. It does set it at the bottom. I read it. I was trying to find it for this, you know, this episode, but I got it back in 2012. I remember the lady I figured out, I did my little investigation like I've been doing. And that's another reason I'm into this kind of stuff, because I've been investigating basically, you could call it, since I was 11. I've been looking for my family. I had to find my dad's, you know, my dad, my mom, my dad's side of the family, my mom's side of the family. Then I found out that I have brothers and sisters, found my sister, and then I found have not found my brother. I still have one brother out there somewhere. Mm-hmm. But I said all that to say that's been kind of my life is investigating, looking. And
looking for your
so
family of origin.
Hard, yeah, so hard to not stop until you find what you're looking for because of that.
And it's so interesting. I mean, we have so much in common. We talk all the time. We've got this show together. But when I think about how different our backgrounds are, like, I mean, none of our backgrounds is perfect by any stretch. But I mean, I was raised by my biological family. I knew who everybody was, and I just took that for granted. Like, that's amazing when I hear you talk about this. It really is. I'm just trying to put myself in your shoes, and it just makes me want to cry. It's just like, that's so overwhelming for a kid to learn and then to be investigating your whole life. And like, you've told me before, you almost feel like a piece is missing, you know?
Yeah.
And that's
well, and you also don't feel like you fit in anywhere. And it really, I don't know any better way to say it. It sucks. That's the only thing I can say.
So
it sucks.
Interesting.
Because you don't belong where you know, the family you grew up with or the people, and you know that. And like I said, when she told me, I remember feeling like I was the alien in the room or whatever. But
kids feel that way so much anyway.
Yeah. And that's not to say all that, to say, oh, woe is me, feel sorry for me. That's not
But I'm
point,
just saying that adds to that feeling that kids have, you know, because I remember moving to, this is minor stuff, but moving to DeSoto from San Antonio when I was a kid. And I remember it being so different from I loved San Antonio. We get to DeSoto, the small town outside of DFW. Well, I mean, it's just south of downtown Dallas, maybe 15, 20 minutes south of downtown Dallas. But so it's not that far out, but it was just enough of a small town for there to be a small town vibe, right?
Right.
And so I remember they went around the room and they asked us all to tell where we were born. And I was born on an Air Force base because my dad was career military. Mm-hmm. And he was an officer, so it was a career, okay? He wasn't just in for 4 years. This was my family's life. And so where I was born was at Scott Air Force Base in Illinois. But I remember having to say that when we went around the room and several kids turned to me and yelled Yankee.
Oh,
I was mortified because I had just started school. And I was like, what's a Yankee? I'm not a Yankee. Get out of here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we moved to Texas when I was like 6 weeks old. So, you know that expression, I got here as fast as I can.
Yeah,
I'm like, come on. I really literally did. Okay.
6 weeks, yeah.
I got here. Okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, not to jump in and make it about
me,
but I just was just saying, I remember how mortified I was at that little minor thing. Mm-hmm. I can only imagine just the whole family of origin thing being thrown off for you, how that must have felt.
Yeah, it's very weird. And not only that, it's more weird to tell your story when people ask your mom and then you say it. And then, you know, and I had a great mom that raised me. She took care of me and did everything for me. But it was very odd trying to explain these things to people. It's very complicated.
Well, especially as a kid.
Yeah.
For children, it's easy to feel uncomfortable and like an outsider, especially in those junior high years. And you found out when you're 11, that's like when all that stuff kind of starts, where you start just kind of feeling weird about yourself. And, you know, you're going through all those changes. And it's just kind of an emotional time for all kids, regardless of what's going on. So it's really interesting.
Yeah. And then, of course, we have our little true crime stories that we go along with it. When I was younger, you know, the one where the guy was following me and my friends and stuff like that. We just, I don't know it. I guess I think the research part of looking for your family has caused me to be like this. And it's hard to stop because several times I've wanted to stop researching the Missy Beavers case. Like, you know, whatever.
And it's so funny. You and I have that in common because I know people call you all the time and say, will you look this person up for me?
Yeah.
And you just kind of wonder, why don't they do it? Right. And my husband will mention something, and I hope that none of his coworkers or anything are listening to this right now because it makes me sound like a total psycho, but he'll like mention somebody. And literally 4 seconds later, I'll hold my phone and I said, is this them? And I have a picture. He's like, yeah.
That's him.
It's like, there's my crazy wife, you know? But I mean, you and I have that in common.
Yeah.
That's probably what one of the things that drew us to each other is we love to research and we're not stalking people.
No,
we're not going to contact anyone, but we like to know who we're dealing with. We like to know answers. And especially in a case like where you're trying to find your family of origin, I mean, just any kind of thing like that, we really enjoy researching.
I have kind of a funny story where one time my kids called me the investigator whenever they were younger because I would figure out everything and they hated it. But, you know, you want to protect your children, right? But I have one of my son's very good friend's mother called me and she knew that I could, you know, find people like this. And she said, I need your help. My son has ran off and I don't know where he is. I just know he's with this lady or this girl named, I can't remember the daughter's name that he was hanging out with, but the mother's name was Kim. And that's all she gave me, Kim. I mean, good Lord, how many Kims are there? I probably have 35, 40 on my Facebook, you know?
Well, especially our age. I'm sorry, your age. I'm 29. It's amazing we have so much in common, right?
Yes.
But yeah, there's a lot of Kims that are your age. Yeah,
and I'm 28, so.
You already gave away your age.
No, I did. But she gives me the information. She tells me a few more things, and I don't remember what these things were, but it was enough, you know, like I think she does XYZ work and they live in this, you know, well, they lived in Red Oak, obviously, because that's where we live. But anyway, she gives me just a little bit of information and maybe a phone number. I can't remember. But anyway, in about 10 minutes, I had where she worked. I don't think she gave me a phone number because I had a phone number and I got their address at home. So we went over there and knocked on the door and there was both of her sons were there. Mm. And it was funny because the woman answered the door and she's, you know, answers the door and she says, you know, how can I help you or whatever. And my friend says, I'm here looking for these two boys. No, she said, is my son here? And she said, well, what's his name? And she said, how many boys are here? Like that. But it was just funny that that little bit of information, I was able to get it. And I guess I enjoy it. So.
Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah. We love stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, we do. We like researching things. And maybe that's why we want to be private investigators. So.
Yes. And I still do. Anybody have any connections? We need them.
Yeah. And I know that probably sounds like a Laverne and Shirley episode, which again dates us, but we really are serious about doing that. So maybe we'll do that one these days.
It's just enjoyable. It's something about the search and the find.
Yes.
That completes.
Yes.
You know,
getting answers where answers need to be. Yeah. Sometimes we don't need the answers. Sometimes we're just really hungry for more information. But if we were working a case, like, we've worked cases. I put quotes around worked because no one's hired us.
Right.
But we've investigated and researched, and it just feels good to get little answers here and there because mm-hmm. they're needed.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're needed. It's not just curiosity. Sometimes the answers are really needed.
Right.
How did you feel better when you, I mean, that's a terrible thing to say. Now, you obviously don't feel better finding out your biological mom was murdered, but did you somehow feel more complete when you started getting all the puzzle pieces together, or was it worse? Were you just thinking, I'm never going to get to meet her now?
That was a little bit devastating.
Yeah.
But then of course I went on other missions at that point. You know, I did want to figure out who she was, and that can be somewhat hurtful to the people that raised you.
Oh yeah.
But it was never personal. It was always just about you as a person knowing where you came from.
Right.
And not knowing where you came from is very weird.
I can imagine.
Very weird. So, I'm one of those people, I'm pretty strong. So I just kind of said, okay, well, there's nothing I can do about that. I'll find out information about her, you know, and I was on a mission to get pictures and see stuff. And I didn't get a lot, but I did get some. But at that point, I just moved on to my next search, and that was to find my siblings.
Yeah.
And my sister, I did find her. Still have not to this day found my brother.
Yeah, that's interesting. So, I wonder why.
He was legally adopted.
Oh, so he's got a whole new name and stuff?
My sister was legally adopted as well, but Georgia has a program that allows them to open the records and help you where Texas does not. And my brother was born in Texas. We have the same parents, but my sister was not. So they have a whole different program, and they were able to do that.
So you and your brother have the same two parents?
Mm-hmm.
Biological? Mm-hmm. So this is a full-blooded biological sibling you have running around out there.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah, he's not much older than me.
What's his name, to the best of your knowledge? Do you want to share that publicly? I was just thinking if someone knows him, they might, you know.
It's a very unique name, so people would know. I've actually had somebody, I posted on Facebook many years ago, I had somebody come forward and say he lived with us for 2 weeks.
What?
Yeah, his name was Johnny Unitas.
Unitas?
Johnny Unitas, just like the football player.
How do you spell Unitas?
Unitas.
Interesting.
I spelled it wrong for years because I didn't know. But yeah, he was.
What was that?
It was a notification.
Oh.
He was born before me. I don't know if he was born in 68 or 69. I know that sounds weird, but it's true. But anyway, I posted something on social media and the lady says, you're not going to believe this, but he lived with us for 2 weeks. When he was a baby.
Wow. Oh, as a baby.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it was him.
I was picturing like a 20-year-old. Okay.
No. Okay. As a baby. He was taken away from my mom What happened was she left him. She left him like, hey, will you babysit my kid for me? And they're like, sure, I'll babysit. Well, the next day she didn't come back to get him. So they didn't know what to do. So they called the police department, and the police department didn't really have CPS back then. So they were like, I don't know what to do. So the police officer just took my brother home and they kept him for 2 weeks. And then my parents went back and picked him up. So
your biological parents. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So, what's really cool is the girl, I'm friends with her on Facebook. Her dad was a Houston police officer, and he told the story, and I got to not hear it, but he told it to her and she typed it out to me, which I wanted to talk to her on the phone. And I'm so glad that I didn't, because now I can go back and read it.
Yes.
And get clues about when it happened and all that stuff. But anyway, so I got to read.
Is her dad deceased now?
He died after that happened. And I was so glad that happened.
I bet you're grateful to get that little piece, that big piece of information. Yeah. That's incredible.
Yeah.
So yeah.
There'd be a few little clues, you know, or whatever.
That's so interesting.
But it's hard to find people in Texas. They just don't make it easy.
Yeah. That's wild. I wonder if he's still in Texas.
I don't know.
Maybe
it's a whole nother episode, but I really feel like I found him, but I can't prove it. So I have to let that go until I can prove it someday, but it's hard.
Now, why do you have to prove it? Can't you just call and be like, is this you?
He wouldn't know either. He was adopted as a baby.
So he wouldn't even have records. Yeah,
he wouldn't even know. I mean, you can't even know you're the person. Okay. You're the person that's adopted. Mm-hmm. You can't even say, okay, I'm me. I want you to open my records. Texas says, nope.
Really?
Texas is very difficult.
Now, I had a good friend growing up that was adopted, and it was really strange. At least, I mean, I'm assuming he was telling me the truth. He had zero interest in his family of origin.
Yeah, that happened.
None.
Yeah.
He was totally absorbed in his parents that he considered his parents. And I remember when we got older, I just said, hey, I don't mean to be insensitive. I'm just curious. Like, have you ever tried it? He looked at me like I had three heads. He's like, no. Isn't that wild?
Yeah. Well, I think it's a fear of the unknown. There are some people that are just that way. And there are some people that reach out, and I hear stories all the time because I'm a member of Search Squad, which is a very popular website. When I first got on it, it had just a couple thousand people. Now it probably got 50,000 people. Mm-hmm. CC Moore is the one that started it. That's how I became aware of who she was.
And
that was before she became like super popular.
Right.
But anyway, there's a lot of people on there, and they tell stories all the time that they found their dad or their mom or their cousin and they were rejected. They was like, I want nothing to do with you.
Oh yeah. That's so sad.
I know. And I can't really tell people not to do it. Not that I'm telling people to do anything, but you know what I mean? I can't really suggest it because you never know how it's going to turn out. You just have to try, and then you have to deal with the results.
That reminds me of a situation with a friend of mine. I'm just going to say it for just a second because I think we might want to do a show on it. It just occurred to me. But I had a friend in Los Angeles when I was very young, and he was a sperm donor for money. Mm-hmm. In recent years, kind of a breach or something, because this shouldn't be legal. My husband was freaking out that this could even happen because these sperm banks are not supposed to be sharing the information of the donors with anyone, I guess. So, but trickling in little by little, all these people have been contacting him and saying, you're my biological father. He was never married. I take it back. I think he was married, but he's not. I mean, he's never had kids of his own except for the sperm bank donations.
Right.
Really wild. So now he's got like all these kids and they get together and it's bizarre. I mean, not bizarre in a bad way, just like something we haven't really seen a lot of.
It could be a DNA situation though, because they can totally get the answers that way.
But this, your story, I don't mean to go off, veer off too much. And maybe we can do an episode on this and maybe even have Peter come on and talk about it. But it's just so interesting. And I think you may be right with the changes in these DNA and ancestry databases that you've probably hit the nail right on the head. He started hearing from all these people. It's bizarre.
Yeah. Cause that you really can't help it, because there's people out there that do the DNA test and then they connect with them and then they see that they're related.
Wow.
And then they're probably just like, well, there's my, cause they can quickly, you know, go, this is Uncle Joe, and Uncle Joe is, you know, brother to this guy, and that's going to be
it's freaky
father or whatever.
Yeah. Most of them look a lot like him too.
Yeah.
Cause I've seen the pictures on social media. It's wild.
That would be crazy, but you got to understand if you you know, donate your sperm. You may possibly have a bunch of children running around. They're going to find you someday.
When they're adults. That's right. Or close to adults.
Right. Yeah.
Man. Okay. So what is the most recent research that you've done? Obviously your brother, right? And where did you leave off with that? Is it basically that you're pretty sure you know who he is and you can't prove it? Have you tried to reach out to him yet?
Oh, I've done more than that. In 2013, I found a guy that had posted. What's interesting about my brother is that he was named Johnny Unitas after the football player. And I can't remember the football team. I'm not into all that, but I'm sure somebody out there knows. But anyway, so I found a post where, and I say a post, it was actually one of those boards.
Forums. Message board.
Yeah. And somebody was saying, hey, I'm looking for my biological family. My father was a famous football player. And I thought, I could see how that could be misconstrued. So he was born in Houston. He was around my age and he looked very similar. So I thought maybe this is him.
So you saw his picture?
Well, I didn't at first. I contacted them. They sent me some information. Gotcha. We talked on the phone, exchanged pictures. So he was kind of thinking, we can't be related because he's like 6'3" and I'm like 5'2.5". So,
hey, let me pause. My brother was 6'5". Mm-hmm. I'm 5'5". Okay, go ahead.
I told him that. I said it's very possible. But long story short, we talked and we agreed that we had enough in common and that there was enough of the story that kind of could have matched that we would do a DNA test. So he had me go to his area and he paid for the DNA test. Mm-hmm. And it was a friend of theirs. He was such a nice guy. You could tell he was just, he really cared. He had a good heart. He was just a good person. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay. So I drove to his area. He said, I'll pay for it. You come to my area, you come to my person and do the DNA test and I'll pay for it. I said, okay. So I did. It was very weird. First of all, it was me and her and she had told me, I've done DNA tests before, so I kind of know how they work. So I get there and she swabs my mouth and she's talking to me and she says, I'm going to take a picture of you. And I was like, okay. So she takes a picture of me and she's asking me questions. And then at the end, she says, did you want to help pay for this? And it was very awkward because I wasn't prepared for that. I was like, he told me that he paid for it. And she was like, I just wanted to ask. And I thought, and then I felt really bad. So I go out to my car and I'm just mortified at this point. Cause I'm thinking, was I supposed to? He told me he was going to pay for it. So then I'm like, that's it. I'm going to pay for my portion of it, you know. So I messaged him and I said, hey, I did the test and everything, but I want to send you half the money. And he said, no, we had an agreement. You come to my area and I pay for the test. And I said, well, why did the lady ask me for money? He said, I have no idea. And I never told anybody to do that. I paid for it. So it was very awkward. So a few things happened after that that was awkward as well. They were going to send me the results by email. So 2 weeks was supposed to go by and I was going to get them. Well, 3 weeks went by and I didn't get anything. I contacted them and I said, I haven't got an email. And they said, we don't even have a computer. We don't send them by email. And I'm like, how am I going to get the results? Long story short, his wife, the guy that I think is my brother, calls me and she says, I just wanted to let you know there's no relation, but, you know, good luck. Mm. And I'm thinking, wait, what? Where's my results?
Right.
So I had to fight for those for a while. They finally sent them to me and they look very bogus to me. But here's the thing. If me and you did a DNA test, we know we're not related. We would have 20%, 30%, 40%, 50, you know, whatever. I mean, you know, you're related if you're like 90 and up.
Okay.
You know, something less than that is possible, but probably not. Mm-hmm. Me and him had 0.0002.
Oh, wow. That's weird.
Okay. That's fake.
Interesting.
I've asked many people and they've told me you would have more than that just because of the color of your eyes, the type of skin, your blood type, your hair color, whatever. All those things make up your DNA.
Yeah.
And you would have more than that. And we had the same color eyes. You know, we might have had the same blood type. Who knows? So it should have been more than 0.00002.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's my story. And I don't know if we're related or not, but I, you know, I know how to get a hold of him. I let it go after 2013 because his wife kind of fought me on it. And
oh, his wife was like,
I think it was
away.
An issue.
Yeah, I remember
her.
You telling me about that a long time ago. I remember now.
Yeah. I think it was an issue with her.
It's always the wives.
I know.
Women,
Yeah.
We've had people that were supposed to be on our podcast, but then they came back and said their wife won't let them.
Yeah.
Come on, ladies.
Yeah. Yeah. We're just two married ladies that don't want.
No, I don't even think it was that. Yeah. I just think they were scared of this, that, or the other.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not us, you know, but.
Just in general.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it kind of messed it up. So I never went back and finished it, but me and my sister both think it's our brother. So.
That's crazy. Yeah. I hope that you can bridge that gap.
Lots of true crime in there.
Yes. That's so wild.
Yeah, it was.
Well, I'm glad we were able to get together and talk about this because you're one of the strongest people I've ever known.
Oh,
and
thank you.
Yes. And, you know, our pastor was on Sunday, did a sermon, and he started off with a football analogy. He was talking about in 1979, and I wish I could think right now. I should have written it down before we got on here. But there was a football game, and I'm sure some of our listeners know, football fans. Apparently, a guy dropped the ball in the game, and it was a big deal. And everyone, you know, was coming by the locker room like, you dropped the ball.
Yeah.
Right? You ruined the game.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And he had to live with that. And he was just talking about, and he made a connection between that and people dropping the ball. Like at times that you've dropped the ball in your life, like we've all dropped the ball.
Right.
And been left just going, I can't blame anyone else. I dropped the ball. And then he was talking about families, you know, how they drop the ball. Is it, you know, and I just feel like the ball got dropped for you several times and people didn't show up for you. And I'm you're just so strong and I'm trying not to cry. But, yeah, I mean, you're really a strong person and I'm so impressed with how far you've come and I've heard your stories and we're not going to tell them all here, but.
There's a lot.
Yeah, there's just people who haven't shown up for you. And I'm so happy that you're the strong person that you are today.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Well, I mean, sometimes you just don't have a choice.
I love that. I know. I'm usually the same way, except right now I'm blubbering like a big fat baby. But yeah, I get it. And actually, I don't get it because I've never been where you are. But I've heard your stories and it's just amazing. And
I have a cousin who used to say this. She used to always tell me, Renee, if I didn't know you, I would think you were crazy.
See, I think the opposite.
So I always tell that story because it's true. Because, I mean, if she didn't know my story was the way it was, she would think, that lady's cuckoo. She's crazy, you know. But she knew I was telling the truth because she...
I don't think you're crazy at all. It's just the opposite. You have every right to be crazy. You've been through a lot. You've had to search for your family. People have dropped the ball for you when you were young. And I'm just so glad that you're... here and you're doing so well.
Yeah. Well, I had a great mom that raised me.
That's so awesome. Yeah. Yeah. And you did end up having a family unit. So, and you know what? Most adopted people just say that. They just say, I think of these as my parents.
More than most. Yeah, exactly. I had more than most and it's confusing for people. But when you said you had your parents, or your dad died in 2020, I didn't say it, but I had two parents die in 2021.
Yeah.
And not upping you by any means. What I'm saying is it was more than one.
We had some rough years.
Actually, I had three die in 2021.
I remember.
Yeah. My stepdad died in February of 2021.
Yep.
Then my biological dad died in, my adopted dad died in April of 2021. And my biological dad died in July of 2021.
I remember.
And then his wife died, and then my mother-in-law died. But nevertheless, three dads died in 2021.
And you probably remember we found my mother deceased unexpectedly in her home February of 2021. 2021 was rough.
It was a rough year.
Lost my dad in 2020. I lost my brother in 2020. I lost my mom in 2021. And we were a close-knit family of four.
Yeah.
And not a lot of extended family. I mean, we had extended family, but we weren't close to them. It was just us. And so it's really weird being the survivor, you know. Thank goodness I have a husband and kids that keep me, you know, busy and
going.
Because
I remember that because I was on the phone with you when you found your mom, so I remember that totally.
Horrible.
Yeah,
we've had a rough few years, man.
Yeah, but that's why we keep this true crime thing going. It keeps us busy. I mean, not that we're not busy, because we're very, very busy. We actually have to squeeze this in, but we enjoy.
It feels good to pour into something.
Yeah.
Because, definitely. Because it's not like we're making money doing this. I mean, maybe we will someday. I know podcasters do make money. We're not one of them.
Right.
But, you know, it gives us something to pour into that's not required of us.
Right.
You know, so much is required. I have to take care of my kids.
Right.
My husband's there, you know, and all these things are pretty much, even though you chose them and they're not negatives in your life by any stretch, they're very positive. positive, you love your family, but it's a requirement.
Yeah.
And your job is a requirement. You know, we each have jobs that have nothing to do with true crime or podcasting.
Right.
We have very demanding jobs, both of us.
Yeah.
And it's just really cool to have this outlet, like something we really enjoy.
Yeah.
And that we could pour into and maybe hopefully someday make a difference. I think we kind of already did on that one case.
Yeah.
Out of Ennis, you know, yes. Just keep going.
Jorge Gonzalez.
And so it's probably a good time to say, you know, if you've got something close to your family or close to yourself or some case that maybe you just worry about at night, like we all do with certain cases, let us know, because we're always looking for new cases. It really helps us to, if you're someone who wants to be a guest on our show.
Yeah, to tell the story.
Yeah, we love hearing the story more firsthand, even secondhand, thirdhand, than just, you know, us doing our research. We love doing our research, don't get me wrong, but it's always so great to have a guest on that's sort of like an authority on it.
Yeah, because, I mean, sometimes it's hard to put in that extra time to research it the way it needs to be researched. So if we have a guest on that knows the story, that makes it so much better. And then we don't have to worry about getting anything wrong. Like some people will do a Missy Beavers case and they call her Missy Beavers and say she was killed in the basement of a church or basement of a whatever.
Well, you know, when we had Aphrodite Jones on, which, by the way, was an amazing episode. Having Aphrodite Jones on was just like I was fangirling so hard. But she's amazing. But anyway, you know, we were complimenting her on how in depth she goes with her research. And because you and I are like in that way too. Mm-hmm. I can't stand it when I'm researching something and you keep finding articles or TV shows or whatever it is, YouTube channels, whatever the case may be, podcasts where they just skim the surface. It's like, no. I knew all that.
Right.
Like I've read that over and over.
Yeah.
I'm looking for
something more.
I'm looking for that next level.
Yes.
I'm looking for maybe two or three levels under that level.
Yeah.
And so that's why we dig deep. You and I have a very similar personality in that way. Mm-hmm. Like we want to know, okay, we got the basics. We got those. We want to know more and we want to know where it's going and what anyone can do to help. So that's kind of what motivates us on this show. So
sure does.
Well, thank you for sharing your personal story, Renee.
You're welcome.
And I think that's just so amazing. And I know our listeners are going to want to hear about this and about you. And it's important. So you probably helped a lot of people.
Thanks for listening.
Well, yeah, you probably helped a lot of people feel better who have looked for their families and maybe not succeeded and whatever.
Yeah, so I do have that experience in helping out if anybody needs some with some of that, whether it be deciding which way to go or helping with DNA or whatever. I do have that, so I can help there. I
see,
feel confident.
You're a private investigator already.
Yeah.
You really are. You just haven't been paid.
Yeah, true.
All right. Well, thank you everybody for joining us on True Crime Broads, and we'll look forward to chatting next time.
Ooh, let's go. Huh? Yeah, let's go.
Where you from?
What?
My foot's cramping.
I mean, yeah. Let's go. Shine, let it shine, yeah. She gon' hit my line, I decline, yeah. Side be the best, I'm the fine, yeah. Count all these racks, make me tired, yeah. She gon' hit my phone, where you from, where you at, though? If you laughing at me, then just get up on my face, though. All my diamonds shining like you never seen a boy glow. Ask me how I got it, I'ma tell you, got it so low. Say you really like me, oh boy, stop capping. If you really love me, then you better start clapping. Make the cash legit, no, I never.
Let it shine, yeah. She gon' hit my line, I decline. know.